The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
We are coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Busy afternoon today. We'll talk with the group that is filing the lawsuit against the state of Washington for the illegal income tax that Jay Inslee is going to try to sign into law today. And you heard the proof in that Noelle Frame soundbite that Aaron just played. She said this is a gigantic step toward the ultimate goal, which is an income tax on every single person in the state of Washington, because that is the only kind of income tax that our Constitution allows, our state Constitution. So this is a step toward imposing an income tax on every single person in the state, including you. And the sad thing about this is, well, maybe it's happy news for a lot of people, but my wife and I are making plans. Yeah, I really thought that I was going to live here my whole life. But we're looking at a place right now where I'd gladly live and work 6 months and one day out of the year if the state of Washington starts doing this. And there are a lot of people who are going to want to get out of an income tax state. And it's not just the high income people, it's middle class people. California, the middle class gets soaked. They want to soak the middle class here in Washington. So we'll talk to the group that is filing the lawsuit at 12:30 this afternoon. I mentioned that Charlie Kirk was going to be on the show today. There is a scheduling conflict, so it looks like that's going to be tomorrow now with Charlie Kirk. All right, lots of news to get to. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
So for 2 weeks being prepared by the King County Director of Health, by Jay Inslee, being prepared by everybody that they're going to roll back a bunch of counties, Jay Inslee rides in on a white horse and he's a big hero today, right? Because about a half hour ago, Jay Inslee said, well, we're not going to roll back any counties. Now, this is good news for some businesses, but it's also just proof of what utter chaos reigns in Jay Inslee's brain. Everything they do is by the seat of their pants, and nothing is based on public health. He says, oh, no, we're just being flexible.
And I think our flexibility throughout this pandemic has been one of the reasons we've had a great deal of success, that as this virus has thrown us curves, we have responded. It's also worked because of the tremendous compliance we've had with our requirements for masking and social distancing, and a great credit to this goes to the state of Washington citizens.
And so they're just making things up as they go along. But he has a warning. If you own a business, you better march in order.
Look, non-adherence to our currently existing safety protocols put people in danger. That's just a fact. So most counties still have a 50% capacity limitation for restaurants and other businesses. In three counties, it's a 25%. It is our expectation that responsible owners will follow these requirements.
What does he mean when he says non-compliance puts people in danger? That's a fact. Florida opened up the entire state. Texas opened up the entire state. They're both doing fine. People are going to restaurants and bars. They're at capacity. And the states are doing better than Washington. Everything is just being made up. Oh, and by the way, he also wants to encourage you and me to be little rat finks.
But not everyone has, unfortunately. And I do want folks to know that we take these protocols very seriously. We've had about 100,000 complaints filed over the pandemic that have been filed with our Emergency Operations Center. We've had thousands of inspections, and the department has administered about $7.3 million in fines already for the few folks that are not complying. We'll be continuing that enforcement to make sure that we preserve the safety of all Washingtonians.
He's talking about that like that's a bragging point. And we have instituted $7.3 million in fines. Isn't that cool? That we have that kind of power to crush small businesses that are already being crushed by the pandemic? $7.3 million. That's pretty good, isn't it? Let me illustrate the insanity and the randomness of what we're doing. You know, Joe Biden still wears a mask when he goes on a Zoom call with world leaders. But yesterday, a picture was released of Joe and Jill Biden kneeling next to Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter, who are in their mid-90s, and they're not wearing masks. Joe, why do you need a mask for a Zoom call, but not when you're with somebody in their 90s, indoors, four of you in the same room? It's all for show. And by the way, if you haven't seen that picture, it's one of the most bizarre photographs you'll ever see. It's photoshopped in some weird way because Joe and Jill Biden both look like they're about 8 feet tall. And Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter both look like they're about 4 feet tall. It looks like the Bidens are ventriloquists and the Carters are, I don't want to use that word, but because I think Jimmy Carter's lived a horrible president, but I think he's lived a noble life, so I would never call him a dummy. But that's what it looks like, though, is the ventriloquist thing. If you haven't seen that picture, go check out my Twitter, at Dori Monson, D-O-R-I-M-O-N-S-O-N. It's all random. Remember a couple of weeks ago when I had a young woman in Tacoma, Pierce County? She was about to get married the upcoming weekend. And that's when Jay Inslee rolled Pierce County back from phase three to phase two. And she was heartbroken, but she also told me about some of the guidelines that the state of Washington was imposing, mandating on their wedding. And one of them was exactly how they could dance at the reception.
Some of these other guidelines. Tell my listeners about the dancing restrictions. You're going to have to put tape on the floor and make 6-foot boxes that your guests are going to have to stay in when they're dancing.
So we, this is one of the silliest ones, is that we are not allowed to dance with other tables. You are only allowed to dance with your own table. So six people in your dance group, we have to put a little box on the ground for people to dance in their own little square, and they can dance with another square 6 feet away from them, but they have to be separate.
And Kayla said, so if I go around to say hi to all of our guests and I go by their table and the music's playing and I start swaying to the music, is she going to be in violation with one of Jay Inslee's rat finks? Fine her if she starts swaying to the music at her own wedding reception. And how about that? You can only dance with somebody at your own table. So if you're back to back with somebody at the neighboring table and they're 3 feet away from you and you're 6 feet away from the person who's across from you at your table, but you can dance with that person, but you can't dance with the person you're back to back with. I mean, it is just... it is so arbitrary. It is so stupid. It is not rooted in health at all. Washington, D.C. just said no dancing at wedding receptions. And again, if you want to compare and contrast between a lousy governor and a great governor, Jay Inslee sadly falls in the former category. Ron DeSantis of Florida is a great governor. And he talked today about how stupid these dancing restrictions are at weddings like Jay Inslee's imposing here in our state.
Given that type of performance of the vaccine, given how great the monoclonal antibodies have done, which nobody ever talks about, but those have done very well, given all that, if that's still, you need emergency powers under those circumstances, then when are you going to be able to move beyond it? And I think that as we're seeing throughout the rest of the country, if cities are banning dancing at weddings or doing some of that stuff, that's just so outside of what would be justifiable based on the evidence.
Of course it is. Of course, there's nothing justifiable based on the evidence with what Jay Inslee's doing. Telling everybody for 2 weeks, yeah, we're going to roll King County back. And then today, oh, I'm a hero. I'm not going to roll King County back. Now, it just shows that you're doing everything randomly and you are not using any data to control the lives of people in this state. Ron DeSantis, there's a governor for you. There's somebody who knows how to run a state. Sadly, we don't have that here in Washington. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
Our friend Jason Rantz has a story up at mynorthwest.com that will not surprise you, but it does prove that we are in Bizarro World. I talked at length yesterday about critical race theory, about it's the most racist curriculum in our schools since the 1960s. It's where you tell every white kid that they should feel guilty because of their race, and you tell every child of color that they should be resentful toward the white kids. It is a horribly divisive, but this is what everything is about here with our local politicians and now nationally. Nobody's an individual. Nobody is to be judged on their individual merits or goodness or what's in their heart. You are part of a group, and you are either an oppressor or you are the oppressed. And it is a horribly destructive approach to living life. We have critical race theory in practice at the government level all the time, too, as I talked about yesterday. Let me tell you about what's going on at the King County Department of Adult and Juvenile Detention. They wanted more people of color and LGBTQ employees. And they were getting lots of candidates. But there was only one problem. The first thing you have to do to move up the job interview chain is you have to score at least 70% on a multiple choice written exam. If you exceed 70%, 70%, by the way, C minus in school, but okay. Close enough for government work, right? For government employees, you have to score at least 70% to move on to an in-person interview. Only one problem. The test results are in. Now, they got 9 BIPOC LGBTQ. I think I screwed up the letters. They got 9 of them to advance to the in-person interview, and they got 10 white people. Okay. Seems pretty equitable, right? 9 BIPOC LGBTQ, 10 white. But there's a problem. A lot more BIPOC LGBTQ applicants than white applicants. So here's what happened. 26 people in those minority groups applied and took the written exam. Only 9 out of 26 passed it. It's about 35%. For Whitey, 18 white people took the exam, 10 passed it. That's about 55%. Oh no. So 55% of white people passed the exam, only 35% of the minority people passed the exam. So what's the solution to all of that? They're not going to use the written exam anymore that they've used for years. They say that it's not equitable, which, of course, is one of the many great lies of critical race theory, that any of this is about, I mean, it's all designed to be about equity, but we're not guaranteed equity. Equity would mean equal outcome. No matter how hard you work, no matter how hard you prepared yourself at school, that under the bizarre equity of critical race theory in government and schools under the bizarre equity. We must have equal outcomes, and the smartest, hardest working, most diligent people cannot succeed at a higher level than the more slothful, not as intelligent. I'm not saying that BIPOC and LGBTQ aren't intelligent. I'm just saying that they're not passing the exams, and maybe that's a reflection on how they prepared in school. I have no idea. But instead of saying, yeah, well, we'll just lower the standard to 60%. No, no, no. They're just getting rid of it altogether because they need, no matter what you're bringing to the table, they need equity. And again, none of us should ever be guaranteed equity. Socialism is all about equity. Equality means that we all have the opportunity to achieve and succeed at the same level. But it certainly doesn't mean that the hardest working and the most slothful should get the same outcomes. And those are things you can control. You know, not everybody's born with the same level of intelligence, and that's within racial groups. There are some smart white people, there's some really dumb white people. And that's true for all groups. You can't control that to a certain extent, but you can sure control how hard you work. Everybody can control that. And under equity, the laziest and the hardest working get the same outcome. Equality means that you'll both be given the same opportunity, and the hardest working will achieve and succeed at a higher level than the laziest. But that's not how it is in our schools. That's not how it is in government. So the Department of, what's it called? Adult and Juvenile Detention. They have decided they need more people of color and more LGBTQ. And by the way, if I'm a person of color or LGBTQ, how insulting, how racist of them, how homophobic of them to assume that the only way you can succeed is if they eliminate standards? What tremendous bias takes place within the minds of the people who craft this stuff? But of course, the radical left has proven to be the most racist, homophobic, sexist group out there right now. The radical left. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then the organization that is filing the lawsuit today, because Jay Inslee is signing into law today, a state income tax. Talk to them live next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I've been telling you for years that the state income tax is the holy grail of Democrats in our state. And now they think they have a way to achieve that goal. And again, all you have to do is look at California, where the top state income tax rate is 13.4%. Joe Biden wants the top federal rate, about 40%. Add in your property taxes, your sales tax. Some people are paying 60% of their income to the government. And that's what they want here in Washington. Remember when the sales tax was imposed in Washington? Probably not. You're probably too young. It started at 2%. Now it's 10.5%. Every tax that goes in eventually ensnares more people and goes way, way up in the rate that they collect. And so thankfully, there's some people fighting this. It is absolutely unconstitutional what the governor and the legislature are trying to do. Inslee's going to sign it this afternoon. Maxford Nelson is with the Freedom Foundation. They are filing suit against the state of Washington, and Maxford joins us live here on the Dory Monson Show. Always great to talk with you, Maxford.
Well, always great to be on the program, Dory. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so you heard my opening comments on this income tax. What do you say, and why are you guys filing this lawsuit?
Well, we actually filed the lawsuit last week, Dory, before Inslee had even had signed the measure. It was passed by narrow majorities in the Washington State Legislature on the closing day of the 2021 legislative session. So that was just a week ago last Sunday. The tax is a capital gains income tax, and it was a highly controversial subject in the legislature this year, and but it is the culmination of a multi-year effort to pass a tax like this through Olympia, and it is, as you mentioned already, opening the door to income taxes in Washington State, which is one of the many reasons we feel so strongly about pushing back. We filed our litigation in Douglas County Superior Court last week on behalf of seven Washington residents who would be affected by this tax should it take effect in January of next year. And we are arguing that it is both unconstitutional under the Washington State Constitution and the United States Constitution. And we feel that we've got very strong arguments to make.
Okay, so I agree with you, of course. But Jay Inslee, he has said repeatedly that he is confident that the courts will uphold this. Now, is this just him blowing smoke, or is it, as I fear, that the courts in our state are rigged, that, you know, the Supreme Court, they are elected positions. There are powerful teachers' unions and other unions that have elected many of those Supreme Court justices. Is there a chance that this thing could not get a fair trial in our state?
Well, you know, the moment you set foot into a courtroom, Dory, the outcome is uncertain. And so I think Governor Inslee certainly overstating his case when he talks about how confident he is in the surviving legal challenge. But, of course, we don't know for sure what the outcome is going to be. Here's what we do know for sure. We know that Washington state courts have consistently held that income is property. And we know that the Washington state constitution very clearly says that any taxes on property have to be uniform across the board. They can't single out particular people or have a varying, you know, progressive rate structure. And this tax, you know, targets just certain capital gains income. Does not apply to all income. And so, on the face of it, this should violate our Washington State Constitution. And then we also know, again, based on what the United States Constitution says about states' ability to regulate economic activity beyond their own borders, that's not permissible. That's a subject of federal authority, of congressional authority. But this tax attempts to. Or the Washington State Legislature has attempted to impose this tax on sales of capital gains or capital assets that occur outside Washington's borders if the property is owned by Washington residents. So, again, on the face of it, the legal arguments are very strong. Now, we also know that the legislature has gone out of its way to try and make this tax look like something other than an income tax. They've called it, for example, in the legislation, an excise tax, which is subject right to different legal requirements and would be constitutional. Now, that doesn't change the reality of the tax and what it does, and it doesn't change the fact that the federal government and all other 49 states recognize capital gains income taxes as income taxes and not excise taxes.
Importantly, Max, the IRS has been unequivocal on this. The IRS
correct
says that capital gains are income. And so, I mean, it just seems so cut and dried to me.
Well, and even if you look at the legislation, it's enforced by requiring Washington residents to file their federal income tax returns with the Washington State Department of Revenue. And that's going to be the basis for calculating the state-owed capital gains income tax. So, I it's just an exercise in semantics and smoke and mirrors to try and call this an excise tax. But again, it's a It's the fact that the legislature realizes this is subject to legal challenge. And, you know, we've already seen even in recent years, Washington state courts, as willing as they may be to bend over backwards for progressive causes, even Washington state courts have in recent years struck down income tax proposals. The Seattle City Council passed an income tax ordinance, exactly, in 2017, which we challenged along with others. That tax did not pass muster in Washington state courts.
Let me get back to the first point you just made, and that is our state constitution is clear. If you're going to pass a tax, it has to be an income tax. It has to be uniformly applied to everybody in the state. One fear that I have, Maxford, is that this could go to the courts and they would say, well, this is allowable only if you impose it on every single person in the state. And of course, there would be a tremendous citizen revolt because now everybody thinks, well, it's just the super wealthy that'll be affected. Is there any chance that the court could say, we'll allow it, but you're going to have to apply it to every single person in the state?
Well, effectively, that's the law right now, Dory. I mean, that's what the Constitution requires. Constitution does not say that the Washington state cannot have an income tax. It just says that if you are to have an income tax, it has to be uniformly applied at a rate not exceeding 1%, unless there's a vote of the people and a 3/5 majority say they want to proceed with it otherwise. So that's the law right now. Now, the courts cannot look at this and change the terms of the law to make it broadly applicable to everyone. There's just not a mechanism for the courts to do that. But the legislature could, if it wanted to, pass a uniform income tax. But of course, that's not really the point. I mean, the point here for the left is to use the power of taxation to penalize people and activities and industries that they don't like, which is, you know, and it fuels their class warfare agenda, which is exactly why it's constructed the way that it is. Politically, they don't want a uniform tax structure.
Let me play for you just one real quick soundbite here from Democrat Noelle Frey.
Another gigantic step towards rebalancing the tax code.
She describes this as a gigantic step toward rebalancing the tax code. Doesn't that, she refused to answer the question when she came on my show last week when I asked if they did want a broader income tax. But doesn't that, of course, reveal that they do want a broader income tax, that they only consider this a step toward their ultimate goal?
Well, I'm sure that they want a broader income tax than this proposal, and I have no doubt about that. But there's a host of other tax proposals that you saw introduced in Olympia this year targeting the described wealthy or the rich or corporations. A number of them did not make it through the legislature, but it gives you an idea of where the left is coming from. And in their view, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are successful at creating jobs and creating a thriving business, that's not something to be proud of. That's something that you need to be penalized for. That's a source of wealth that you need to then hand over to the state so it can do whatever it wants with or hand it out to its political special interest groups. That's bad not just for those people that are taxed. That's bad for the entire state economy, for jobs, for workers, for our business climate. It's impossible to confine the effects of those taxes just to the wealthy.
Well, it's insane. When Jay Inslee was running for president, he went around the country touting that we have the best economy in the country, and now they want to do something that would, more than anything, fundamentally undermine the good things about our state economy, and that's that we have no income tax. Well, Maxford, I'm sure we'll talk lots as this thing wends its way through the courts. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
My pleasure, Dory. Thanks again for having me.
Yep, you bet. Maxford Nelson, Freedom Foundation. Your thoughts? Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. I try not to bore you with my obsessions, because it can get kind of wonky sometimes. And I've mentioned that if I was not a talk show host, it's kind of interesting because I make my living with words, but my obsession since I was a child is with numbers. And because of that, if I wasn't a talk show host, I'm sure I'd be in the world of finance, because I'm fascinated not only with numbers, but I'm fascinated with freedom and how if people start early in life at almost any income level, if you make great decisions, you can ensure that you'll be taking care of yourself. You know, Social Security might not be around when my kids get to Social Security age. And because of my obsession with numbers, I'll be in the car. Yeah, I like multiplying numbers in my head. I can do two digit. You know, like 56 times 23. You know, 56 times 20 would be 560 times 2, which is 10, 11, 20. 3 times 56, 150, 168, 11, 20, 168, 1288. I think that's right. You can check me. I think it's 1288. I love numbers. So I'm reading stuff about the financial world today, and I want to make sure that everybody is wide awake to what's happening, because this is really serious stuff that is going to really seriously affect your family. And I'm talking about here in Washington State, where some texters, now I'm worried I got it wrong. Check my math. Anyway, they added billions of dollars in new taxes here in Washington State to accommodate their billions in new spending. And it's at a time when we can least afford this, because I want to make sure you are aware of what's happening, where Joe Biden has, at the federal level, he's proposed and they're working towards $6 trillion in additional debt for the United States of America. We are headed toward $30 trillion in debt. And there is simply no way to pay that off by just, growth of our country and our economy getting stronger, especially when Joe Biden's policies are making our economy weaker. So I want to make sure you know, Bank of America, just today, they have a metric to measure mentions of inflation and what that means for actual inflation. I'm going to read this to you from the Bank of America report today. On an absolute basis, inflation mentions skyrocketed to near record highs from 2011, pointing to, at the very least, transitory hyperinflation ahead. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that one of the major banks, with some of the major economists and forecasters, that they are saying at the very least, we are headed for hyperinflation. Hyperinflation wipes out everything you've saved. It wipes out the value of the dollar. It's what's happened in South American countries, where people who, you know, might have saved $1 million and all of a sudden $1 million is worth $10,000. There is no more insidious tax than inflation. And then you look at what Biden's done to gas prices and all these news stories today. Gas prices have gone up because there aren't enough delivery tank drivers. Are you kidding me? We were an energy independent nation the last 4 years. And then Joe Biden comes along and he says, no offshore drilling, no oil pipeline, and every decision he's made. So what does that do? Gas is up 60 cents a gallon in this state. It's costing your family hundreds of dollars. Do not ignore that all of these things that seem like they're just targeted at the rich, they are going to crush you and your family if we don't stop government spending. Fast 15's next.